Well, last week you may remember that we looked in verse number 9, and in doing so we watched as Solomon explained and warned against the being hasty in your spirit to anger. And what he was talking about is how a person so many times can very quickly get angry and upset internally. And he said, you don't want to do that because anger resteth or abides or dwells in the bosom of fools. And so essentially what he was saying is this, is when we allow ourselves to get angry quickly, even if it's done internally, many times what that will result in is you and I doing foolish things. And so you and I never help a situation by having a quick temper and a short fuse. We're always going to hurt a situation, and we will hurt people when we allow ourselves to be hasty to anger in our spirit. And so I don't know if you've thought about it much this week. I don't know if you've reflected on that message much last week or from last week. But I would imagine, as I said then, it's probably a needed truth, whether we like to admit it or not. Now, this morning we're going to look at another verse of Scripture, and I'll just say right up front that I did not want to preach this verse of Scripture. It seemed a bit too familiar. It seemed too repeated, at least in recent weeks. But the more that I tried to get away from it, it was like the Lord said, this is what you're going to deal with, or you're going to be in disobedience. So I thought it would be better if I just went ahead and dealt with what I felt like he was leading me to deal with. We'll talk more about it, or obviously I'll tell you what it is in just a couple of moments. But this morning I want us to think about something that we're familiar with because it is present here in our town, here in Pampa. I want us to think about a train track. I want us to think about a train track. Now, I'm not an expert on the matter. There are so many things about train tracks that I don't know about. But I want us to think about at least one thing about a train track that all of us know, all of us understand, and that is this, is that they run in pairs. There are two rails, there are two tracks running beside each other. And as long as you have a track, there are going to be two rails that govern that track, that guide that track, which of course is going to give direction to the train or the other pieces of equipment that would be on that track. So where there is one side of a rail, there will be a second side of the rail, again, running parallel to that. Now, though we understand that and though we know that, I want us to think about something, that today if you and I were to get into the car and we were to begin driving either to the east or the west, here is what we would find. We would find that there would be times along this road trip, there would be times along this journey that based on elevation, based upon our location, based upon how the terrain was laid out, there would be times that we would only be able to see from our vantage point one side of the rail. We would only be able, for us in this country, we would only be able to see what would be the south side of the rail for the majority of the road trip that we would be on. But yet here is what we know, that just because we could not see the north side of the track does not mean it's not there. No matter what, when you've got a train track in place, there are going to be two rails that run parallel beside each other. And here is something else we know, that you and I, no matter how well acquainted we are with the understanding of the tracks and how it works and all that other stuff, we don't fully know, and we do not completely have in our minds every place that track is going to go. There are still some uncertainties with us about its future destination and all the stops it'll make and everything that'll be involved in that track. Would we agree with this? Okay. You may say to yourself, why are we talking about train tracks? Well, maybe we'll understand more about it in a couple of moments. But this morning I want us to look in verse number 14. In verse number 14, Solomon makes this statement, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. I want us to think about a couple of things as we look at this first statement before we move on to any other portion of the scripture. First of all, I want us to consider this word day. I think many of us, when we think of a day, we think of a 24-hour period. We think of a day beginning at 12 o'clock at night and concluding at 11:59 the next night, right before the clock were to strike midnight once more. And though this word day can be speaking or can be referencing a 24-hour day, this is more dealing with the idea of a season or an extended amount of time in a person's life. And so when Solomon speaks of a day of prosperity, he's not speaking of a single 24-hour event. He's not speaking of just a one sunrise to sunset kind of a day, but he is speaking of a season that might be present in a person's life. And so he speaks of the day of prosperity. The day or the season of prosperity. So when Solomon speaks of prosperity, what is he talking about? To keep it simple, to keep it easy for you and I to understand, it just means this. When things are going well, when something is thriving, or when something is flourishing, when someone is thriving, when someone is flourishing, the idea would be something like this: life is good right now. So what Solomon is talking about is this, is that there are going to be seasons in a person's life where they are prospering, and that doesn't mean necessarily that they're getting rich and that they're making all sorts of money and that they are acquiring all sorts of possessions. But what he is saying is this, is that in a person's life, there will be days when things are going well, when things are thriving for them, when things are flourishing, when they might step back and say, man, life is good. And we know that to be true, do we not? That was weak. We know that to be true, do we not? That there are certainly days and there are certainly times and there are certainly seasons in our lives where things are going well. Now, if somebody would say something of this nature, things never go well for me, then that is someone who's just afraid to admit that life was good at some point. Every one of us have enjoyed seasons of prosperity. Every one of us have enjoyed days of blessing. Every one of us have enjoyed that time where God just seemed to just bless us in ways that we knew we did not deserve. And as Solomon speaks of that day or the season of prosperity, he said this by way of instruction. He said, be joyful. Be joyful. What does it mean whenever he says to be joyful? It means this, to be glad or to be delighted. We might say it or we might paraphrase it like this. Just take advantage of it. Enjoy the time of prosperity. So when those seasons come where everything's going well, when those seasons come and you're thriving and you're flourishing and it seems like everything is just going right, Solomon said, enjoy it. Be delighted in it. Take advantage of it. Now, I think for some of us, that just seems like common sense, does it not? It seems like you wouldn't even have to tell people to enjoy it. And yet sometimes I think here's what is true of some people. Maybe not everyone, but I think it is true of at least some. I think sometimes people feel like they have to be apologetic that their life is going good at certain times. They feel as though they need to say things like, man, I don't deserve this, and you know, I don't know why this is happening to me, and they feel as though they have to be apologetic. Sometimes I think people feel guilty that life is so good for them at certain times. They feel as though, well, I mean, things aren't going good for other people, and other people are struggling, and people are having a hard time, and you know, honey, I don't feel right that things are going so good for us. You know what Solomon would say to such an expression? He'd say, get that out of your head. Things are going good for you. Things are going well for you. You're thriving. You're flourishing. Here's what you need to do. You need to be joyful. You need to enjoy this season of life. You need to take full advantage of it. Now, I want to be careful in how I present this because of the culture that we live in. Of course, Solomon was not aware of social media, but Solomon was never saying, take the blessings, take the prosperity, take what God has given you, and begin rubbing it in the noses of other people. You know what I'm saying? Because that does seem to be a trend in our culture today, that when things are going good, they want to plaster it all over social media and let everybody know, my life is better than yours. Ha ha ha. Okay, that's not what Solomon is suggesting, but what Solomon is saying is this. Listen, in that day of prosperity, in that day of thriving, in that day of flourishing, when life is going good, do not sit around and feel guilty, and do not feel as though you have to apologize. Don't feel like you have to explain things. Don't feel like you have to make excuses for it. Just enjoy it. If you're making good money right now, enjoy it. If you're able to buy something right now and you know that you're living in obedience to God's word, enjoy it. You're able to experience something right now because of God's goodness in your life, take advantage of it. If there is a life being lived in obedience to God's will, and God sends along a season and a time and a day of prosperity, just sit back, thank the Lord for it, and enjoy it. Now, why does he say that in verse number 14? Because of what he's about to say next. See, right after the word joyful, there's a comma. And that painful three-letter word. But. See, here's what we know. Whenever you hear something and it's followed up by that little three-letter word, but, we know that things are about to change drastically, right? Okay, maybe you didn't know that. It's what it means, I'd say like 99% of the time. It'd be something like this. He's a good worker, but. Well, you know, okay, he's a good worker, but something else is about to happen or be said that I don't want to hear, that I don't want to know about. It'd be something like this, you know, she's really good at what she does, but. Okay, so that means there's something that along with her that you don't want to deal with or put up with. See, this word, but, it changes everything. So he said in verse number 14, in the day of prosperity, be joyful, but, okay, we're about to shift gears a little bit. He says, in the day of adversity. In the day of adversity. What does it mean whenever he speaks of a day of adversity? Well, we know what a day means, right? It could mean a 24-hour day, but of course, in this context, I've already explained that it's dealing with a season or an extended amount of time. And so what is Solomon saying? He is saying this, that there is also going to be a day of adversity, or a day when things are unpleasant, when things are bad, when things are unenjoyable. So it would be the exact opposite of what we would consider to be prosperity. So Solomon is saying, guess what? Just as there will be days of prosperity, there are going to be days of adversity. There are going to be days of difficulty. There will be unpleasant days. Well, is Solomon correct? Well, of course he is. Solomon is absolutely correct that just as there are days of prosperity, there are days of adversity where life is difficult. Life is challenging. Life is unenjoyable. It may be in the realm of finances. You know, it may be that just 6 months ago, we were enjoying prosperity financially, and now the money's just not there. Yeah? Days of prosperity, days of adversity. You know, it seemed like a year ago, my family was doing so great, and everybody was getting along, and right now, it seems like everyone's fussing, and everyone's at odds with each other, and everyone's fighting. Yep. Days of prosperity and days of adversity. You know, a year ago I was feeling great, I was feeling fantastic, and now I just feel terrible. Right. Days of prosperity and days of adversity. Now see, here's what we know. is that in our lives, we have enjoyed the prosperity and we have dealt with the adversity. And in the verse he said of prosperity, be joyful. And of adversity, he did not say, this is your opportunity to pout, to moan, to groan, to complain, and we would say, and put it all over social media. Following this? Just because the season is different now doesn't mean we need to let everybody know how terrible the season is. We don't have to broadcast it. We don't have to tell everybody life stinks in this area and life is rough in this area and life is terrible in this area. No, he's just saying, listen, in the days of prosperity, you need to be joyful. But he said, in the day of adversity, here's what you need to do. You need to consider. What does it mean to consider? It means to understand something. You need to see this. You need to perceive something. We might say it like this. In the days of adversity, you need to think. Because sometimes in the days of adversity, we don't want to think. Hello? In the days of adversity, we don't want to contemplate anything other than the adversity that is taking place in our lives. See, in verse number 14, he said, in the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider. What am I supposed to consider? What am I supposed to perceive? What am I supposed to think about? What am I supposed to acknowledge? This is kind of interesting. He said, God also... Now, who did this? God. God also hath set the one over against the other. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, think, consider, perceive, see this, understand this. God also hath set the one against the other. What does it mean for God to set one against the other? It means this, to lay things beside each other in a parallel fashion. You following this? God hath set the one over against the other, and it's kind of like a train track. Over here you have a rail of prosperity, and over here you have a rail of adversity. And you know what's happening? In a person's life, that never goes away. You have one as well as the other. You have days of prosperity. You have seasons of blessing. You have seasons of thriving. You have seasons of pleasure and enjoyment and everything going your way. But at the same time, along that rail of prosperity also runs a rail of adversity. And you, Solomon said, will also have to endure the seasons of adversity, because just as prosperity runs in every person's life, so adversity runs in every person's life. God hath set them over the one over against the other. Okay, so here's what we know, and I don't think I'm surprising anyone with this. Everybody enjoys good days, and everybody endures the rough days. Surely this isn't just familiar to me and a few others, right? Okay, maybe it is. I'm just saying, it seems like, though, that for so many of us, we'd have to say, you know, I've enjoyed many, many, many good days. And yet, if I look back over the course of my life, there have certainly been seasons of difficulties. Why is that? Because that's how God designed it. God designed it that in every person's life, there will be times of prosperity and there will be times of adversity. It's just the way it is. But see, here's what happens. Sometimes, based upon the terrain of our life, so to speak, we're only able to see one rail at a time. And as a result, we lose sight of the second rail. You following this? See, here's what happens. We're going along through life, and everything is good. We look over here and our job is going good. We look at our family and the family's doing well right now. We look in the mirror and we can tell, okay, that's not great, but at least my health is good. Right? We look over here and, okay, this is doing good and the kids are doing good and this is doing good and life is doing good. And you know what happens sometimes? We get so used to that we forget there will be days of adversity ahead of us. So we're just going along through life, just chug, 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 chug. Everything's going good. Everything's going right. Everything's happy. Everything's fine. And then all of a sudden we're reminded there's another rail out there. And here's what happens. So many times that throws us for a loop. Because we were just doing good last week. Last week, everything was going our way. Last week, everything was fine. Last month, everything was what we had wanted it to be. 6 months ago, I mean, it's just been going so good. And God, it's just like everything's just changed. Yeah. Why? Because that's life and that's how God designed it. You got used to everything being good, and when it was good, you needed to enjoy it. You needed to take advantage of it. You didn't need to apologize for it. You didn't need to feel guilty for it. But listen, you could never afford to lose sight of the fact that just because one rail is prosperity, you cannot lose sight of the fact that there's another rail called adversity, and you're going to see that rail from time to time. God set one over against the other. I want to remind you this morning, and I'll say it again, I'm sure, in just a moment, but I want to remind you this morning, if life is going good today, be thankful. Enjoy it. Take full advantage of it while continuing to serve the Lord in obedience. Listen, don't ever, ever, ever feel anything but joy and gratefulness for the good days. But don't be so foolish as to think that that is what you will know the rest of your life. Well, I'm serving the Lord. I know. Well, I'm striving to walk in obedience. Good for you. Adversity is still coming. See, here's what also happens sometimes. Because the terrain of our life varies and changes and things of that nature, sometimes we're on that side of adversity. Have you ever been there? Remember last week I said nod if you can identify. You ever been there on that side of adversity? Yeah, we've been there, okay? So we've been on that side of adversity where things are difficult, where things are not going our way, we're not thriving, we're not flourishing. You know, life is unpleasant right now and we're just not enjoying it. Okay, you know what is also our tendency sometimes? To get into this mindset or to have this frame of mind that I guess it's always going to be this way. It's just my lot in life to always have to deal with this kind of stuff. I guess we're just destined to always struggle financially. I guess we're just destined to always have a dysfunctional family. I guess I'm just destined to never do good at work and to never be recognized. I guess I'm just destined to live this life of despair. You know what we're doing? We're focusing on one side of the track. And we've lost sight of the fact that prosperity is just on the other side. Is this a tough season? Yes. Is this a difficult time? Yes. Is it something that you wish you didn't have to go through? Yes. But what would make us think that if we're a child of God serving the Lord, that every day is going to be miserable and disappointing and depressing and challenging? Listen, I don't know why God puts us on the rail of prosperity sometimes and allows us to avoid adversity. I can't explain that. And I can't explain why sometimes we're on the rail of adversity when we'd rather be on the rail of prosperity. I can't explain that. But what I do know from what Solomon said is this, is that God put them beside each other to run parallel to one another. And so just as we'll never get away from adversity, we will never get away from prosperity either. I'm just here to try to remind us this morning of this, that if you are going through a difficult time right now, if you are going through a difficult season right now, you do not for a moment have to believe that it'll always be this way, because at some point, God is going to allow you to get back on prosperity for a season. That's how it works. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, think, consider, recognize, understand, it will not always be this way. Because God has designed it as such, where we will constantly be on one or the other, but we will never be on one of them all the time. It's just not going to happen. So why did God design it that way? Notice what he said next in verse number 14. To the end. For this reason, for this purpose, that man should find or discover nothing after him. To the end that man should find nothing after him. What does that mean? Well, this may surprise you, but there is controversy as to what that means. You can read 10 different people and get differing opinions. Some people say, well, Solomon is looking to the future. Others say that he is looking to the past. And to that, I don't know exactly what Solomon was trying to communicate, but what does seem clear is this, is that what Solomon is trying to say is this, is God has designed it this way so that no man can know what the future beholds and what lies in store and what man will face. See, God's put these two out here, prosperity and adversity. They're beside each other, and you'll experience this one and you'll experience this one, and you may have more of this one for a while than this one for a while. Okay, it's all there, and it's there for a reason. So that man is not able to find or discover anything after him, or what's coming before him, or what's going to take place after his life. See, there needs to be a certain level of unawareness on our part. Because if there was not a certain level of unawareness on our part, do you understand that we couldn't enjoy anything? You realize this? If you knew what was coming next, you couldn't enjoy prosperity. Because you'd just be looking toward the day of adversity saying, well, it's coming. I mean, we know it's coming. It's just, it's going to happen. We've only got 3 more days of prosperity, then adversity is about to strike. We might as well not even enjoy prosperity right now. No, you know why God has set it up to kind of be a mystery to us? So that we don't know what's coming. And it almost seems to lend toward this idea that what we as children of God are supposed to do is just walk by faith. so that whether I'm on the prosperity side or the adversity side, regardless of where I'm at, I'm just going to trust that God, as the conductor, knows where I'm at. And though I don't know exactly where all this is going to take me, and I don't know what all the stops are going to be, I just know where the finish line is. I just need to get on board. And if I'm over here for a while, fine. And if I'm over here for a while, I need to think and consider and not get upset. And I don't need to so focus on one side that I forget there's another side. I just need to get on board and live by faith. And when I come to prosperity, enjoy it. And when I come to adversity, just deal with it, knowing that prosperity is coming. But it would be a horrible, horrible thing if you and I knew where the track was taking us. This weekend, we went to the men's conference up in Liberal, Kansas, and the preacher said the very same thought, just using different words. He said, "I'm thankful that I don't know what the future holds, because if I did, it would worry me to death sometimes." See, this is a man who several years ago was preaching a meeting, and he was about to conclude that meeting, or he had concluded the meeting, and he was about to fly out of the Oklahoma City airport. I just happened to be familiar with his story a little bit. And he realized that day he was supposed to fly out at the airport, he had cancer. And though he was about to fly home, he ended up in the emergency room and was battling cancer in Oklahoma City. And the point is this, is if he had known he was about to have cancer diagnosed in his body, he couldn't have enjoyed anything prior to that. This is the same man who, several years prior to this, his 2-year-old grandson died of cancer. See, he couldn't have enjoyed anything up to that point because he would have known what was coming around the corner. See, God designed this, in a sense, for you and I to be in a state of wonder sometimes, for it to be a mystery sometimes, because we don't need to know everything, because if we did know everything, again, we couldn't enjoy the good because we'd be dreading the bad, and we wouldn't learn from the adversity what we're supposed to learn from the adversity, because we'd just be looking forward to the prosperity. And so what we've got to do is this. We've just got to realize, okay, this is where I'm at. It's for a day. It is for a season. I may be loving life right now because it's prosperity. Good. Enjoy it. But just know, somewhere down the track a little bit, you're going to take a turn and you're going to find yourself on adversity. When you're on adversity, stop pouting. Stop moaning. Stop groaning. Stop complaining. Stop looking for sympathy from everybody you come into contact with. Just realize, you know what, this is part of it also. Adversity is a part of it. We don't like it, but it's a part of it. We need to consider, we need to think, and we need to realize, and we need to know that, see, here's what's going to happen. Up here, we're going to take another turn. And lo and behold, we're going to be back on prosperity. We'll look back and go, oh, that was adversity. Sure it was, but I'm back on prosperity. And it's just going to be this never-ending cycle until when? Till we reach the final station. And we don't need to know how all of it's going to play out and how all of it's going to work out. We just need to trust the one who has designed it. Amen. It's what we've got to do. We have no other option. We have no other say. We have no other plan that we can exercise. Every one of us just have to recognize there will be good. There will be bad. That's how life works. But God designed it for a reason. And we just need to have faith and trust and confidence in Him. Let's all stand this morning and bow our heads for prayer. Father, as I come to you this morning, I pray that you would help us to take serious the words of Solomon. God, there are some in here this morning who no doubt are enjoying the day of prosperity. They need to enjoy it. They need to take advantage of it. Whatever it is you're providing for them, they need to just enjoy it. And they need to do so with the realization that there will be days of adversity in the future, that it's not always going to be good. They need to be reminded today, and I need to be reminded today, that there is adversity ahead of some sort. And Lord, there are some in here today, they are dealing with the adversity. They are dealing with the trials. They're dealing with the hardships of life. We know that. It's not a secret to any of us. And Lord, if we're not careful, it's so easy to get focused on that rail of adversity that we forget that you have designed it in such a way that we will know prosperity once again. In some way, in some form, in some fashion, there is going to be a curve and there is going to be a turn where we're back on prosperity for a while. God, wherever we're at, I pray you'd help us to enjoy it. I pray that you'd help us to consider it. And that no matter what, you would help us to just have faith in you and not try to figure everything out on our own. I pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.